Heinz! Heinz!
Talkin' Audio.
It's graceful and beautiful and physical and angry all at the same time.
Were you here, your mind would cave in and your heart would explode within your chest.
This is going to be a shame.
Here we go!
This is going to be an interesting edition of the Talkin' Audio podcast as we sit here and record this on St. Patrick's Day, and you hear it the day after St. Patrick's Day. Matt Robinson with you in the Bytown, Canada studio, across from Rob, who's already amused. And what's happening, man?
Coming to you from the beautiful studios in Bytown, Canada.
Yeah.
Coming to you from our
the TCA studio in beautiful Bytown.
Bytown.
Yeah.
Canada. Okay. Yeah. I'm fantastic.
You want to take over again, man? You want the fucking the steering wheel?
Well, we tried that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm picturing Dr. Evil. You want to wear the big boy pants? Yeah. The daddy pants? Whatever.
It wasn't that big a deal.
No, okay.
Short of me botching it.
Yeah.
Welcome to TSA.
Yeah.
That's okay. I'm good, Matt.
It's a place to get a rectal exam and a...
Yeah, no glove.
TSA, not this show. Hopefully. You'll know the St. Paddy's Day edition has gone way off track.
Exactly.
Make sure you're following along on social media at Talkin' Audio and subscribed wherever you're hearing us right now. What are we doing for beers on St. Paddy's Day?
We're drinking a stout.
Yeah.
But we're drinking the stout.
Okay. Okay. Are we having the same stout?
Sounds like it.
We are indeed.
A Guinness.
Mm-hmm.
Guinness for courage.
Same over here, man. I interrupted you there.
That's okay.
Didn't mean to do so.
Because I'm waiting to see if this all makes it into this glass, which, and of course it does.
Yeah, it is a pint glass.
I know, but it feels slightly bigger.
All right. Well, we thought very similarly here. St. Paddy's Day, you got to have a Guinness. I'm not sure I'm going to stick with the Guinness for the whole show, but I am going to start with the Guinness.
Can you spell St. Paddy?
It apparently, I've seen this argued and I had to look it up. I'm told it is supposed to be the P-A-D-D-Y.
Correct.
If you're going to shorten it. And I do understand the other side of it, that Patrick, in theory, you'd shorten, put two T's in it. Apparently that's not the way it's supposed to go.
Yep.
I don't understand why, but I know that that the Irish will insist it's two D's.
Well, one's a male, one's a female.
Okay.
Patty.
Right, okay.
Is a female.
Yeah.
Patty is a guy. Like Padraig.
Sure.
Or which is the Irish Gaelic for Patrick. Padraig.
Had no idea that was the case.
Okay. And did you know that St. Patrick? Yeah. Did you know St. Patrick not Irish?
No.
All right. It's a whole thing built on a fraudulent kind of a storyline.
I only learned today that in Newfoundland, they just celebrate St. Patrick's Day on whatever the closest Monday is to March 17th. Like, we're taking a fucking holiday, and we're going to drink our faces off, and it doesn't always fall on the 17th. So they're celebrating Monday the 18th.
Well, and having...
Good for you guys, too, by the way.
Yeah, no. Going large. And they're good at that.
Yeah.
But if you have... I've never been to Newfoundland.
Me neither.
I have known...
I think it's the only province left on my list. I haven't been to any of the three territories, but I think Newfoundland is the only province I haven't visited.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Same here.
Yeah.
Having been to Ireland and knowing a boatload of people from Newfoundland, it's almost like Newfoundland separated from the southern tip of the Republic. Right. Like if you get down to County Cork or in those areas,
yeah,
it's a very similar accent to a Newfoundland accent. It's
right.
It's not entirely dissimilar. So pretty cool. But I'd like to make it out to Newfoundland. I just haven't yet.
Hello to hockey fans in the United States and Newfoundland. Last to join the country.
Yes.
Finally decided they were gonna get on board.
And
Ireland wasn't half of them.
Serving overseas.
Yeah. I guess Newfoundland is one of only, and I'm going to forget the fourth, but it's obviously Ireland, Northern Ireland, and there is one other territory somewhere that also takes it as a holiday. So the Noofs are still they're clinging tight to their Irish roots.
Well, they were an English colony, but
well, I don't know what to tell you. They are one of only four places, two of them being Ireland, who are taking it as a holiday.
I think it's like to drink guy.
Well, and it's sort of feels a little like the Super Bowl, where you don't need the game to be a national holiday, but it'd be kind of nice if the day after was the national holiday. Like, I'm sitting here right now, I traded a couple texts with the people I spent St. Paddy's Day with last year, and it turned out to be a bit of a rough go. Was over there with Shrides and Josh and Lloydie and his bride at the Nita Beer Company for St. Patrick's Day. That was a Saturday last year, which was nice. No, it might have been a Friday. It was today. This year was a leap year.
Friday.
Yeah. So over there on a Friday, went in at 4 o'clock, thinking we'll have a couple beers, head out around 6 or 7. At about 10 o'clock, we're still sitting there, and most people have petered out, but now our buddy Andy is just dropping free pints in front of everybody. That's when things go off the rails pretty hard. You lose track. A lot of texts flying around the next morning, but people hurting, people. Josh was the only guy who still had his shit together because he was driving. Lloydie sent a text to us at about 8:15 on March 18th last year in the morning, a photo of being back in front of the brewery to pick up his car because he had to go pick up his kids somewhere. That the fact that they were away was the reason he ended up off the leash a little bit the night before, but he was not feeling too good on the 18th last year. So,
well,
and a Sunday,
yeah,
I think it'll keep people a little bit under control this year. Yeah,
and I got to take issue with your Lloydie and his bride.
Not okay.
Nah, he's got like a 15-year-old kid. Man, they've been married for a gajillion years.
At one point, she was still his bride.
Yep. But that's a new, there's new paint smell on that.
What I'm doing here is admitting I can't remember.
Okay.
I'm sort of annoyed you dragged that back out and forced me to admit why I use that phrase.
It's, I'm not married, Matt, but I've taken a lover.
Mm. Cool.
A lover?
A lover.
I do.
In dangerous times.
Yeah. Oh, they're always dangerous times, man. They're always. So just to me, that's it. She's my lover.
Okay. Are you normally, we're both kind of old now, but at one point, like, was St. Patrick's Day ever a big deal to you, or was it just, I was probably going to get drunk tonight anyway, and now I have an excuse?
Yeah, when you're younger, right? You're going out to wherever it is you're going, and you're getting, as AJ, Jackie Beck likes to say, it's one of the four legs of amateur hour. Which I totally get, right? It is the time where the people who need an excuse, or I need an excuse, go out and do it.
But right.
I agree with that, right? You get to a certain spot where you're like, I'm going to get drunk on March 12th. I don't need to hang around and do it. I'm certainly never putting green dye in my beer.
Right.
Bafangula with that. That's what I'm saying.
I've never put green dye in my beer. I have been to places on St. Patrick's Day that are putting green, and I never gave a shit. Apparently, it's not very good for you.
This just in.
Yeah. Didn't know that. Although, I do remember, this isn't St. Paddy's Day, but that the 2012-2013 lockout in the NHL, the half-season lockout, ended up winning tickets to the home opener for the Leafs. And so, I think Miller and I went to that one, and we went to have a couple pints before the game at the Jack Astor's, not far from Union Station there.
Mm-hmm.
And they were putting blue dye in the pitchers. I'm like, all right, like, it was opening night, whatever, didn't care. And before the game, heading into the men's room for a piss and looking down at the urinal going, that's concerning. That's a fairly blue stream right there.
Okay.
This has come right through me.
Anybody who's taken down a pile of asparagus?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's not glowing blue, but
it doesn't take that long for that kind of stuff to just sort of work its way through.
Yeah. When I was in at Loyalist there in Belleville, I can remember going out to the beer store, stock up before whatever you call it, amateur hour. It was college. We were going to get drunk regardless, it fell on a Saturday that year. And so grabbed a bunch of beer and then grabbed a six of Guinness. just we'll all have a Guinness before getting to what we really wanted. And I can remember going, oh, this stinks. I hate this. Like hating Guinness. And now you just love it, right? It's funny how your tastes change. That's all.
Well, and see, that takes me back to, I don't know, what year was that we were in PEI?
Oh, two.
And so you're 19?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Hand
or haven't turned 19 yet. I guess you're only 18.
Yeah, that's right. Although that might have been the age in PEI.
Rolling in there into the old Dublin in downtown Charlottetown.
The only bar open because it was a Sunday.
And it was jammed. And yeah, I remember in about an hour, I threw down 3 pints of Guinness and parts of yours. I remember you being underage, I think.
Could be then. I was 18 at that time, yeah. So it must be a 19 drinking age. But I was just handing them off. It wasn't parts of mine. Like if you got you got the whole thing. I did not want a Guinness. Like the first one that was handed to me, I took one sip out of it. It's not for Matt.
Okay.
You got any Canadian back there?
Yeah, yeah.
But I know you took one. I know Jeff took at least, like, as long as we were there.
Yeah.
Buying rounds. I was still ordering beers with everybody else, but they were just getting handed off to the rest of us.
Well, unlike the other younger guy who may have been there in Ty going to a tournament with us in Sweden and going beer for beer, but.
Yeah, don't do it.
And ended up shitting in a urinal. So.
A urinal trough.
You did not do that.
I did not do that.
So that is, you are a clear step up from that.
Just because I didn't drink.
Know your limits, Matt. Your limits. If you're with some people who are experienced.
You all had 10 years on me or whatever.
Yeah.
It was a year later. We're in Quebec and we ran the thing where I'm supposed to run the gauntlet, right? What, was it a minute or 2 minutes you had? It was a minute.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay. So I'm supposed to, as the new guy on the team, I'm supposed to have 2 minutes against you, 2 minutes against all five other guys on the team.
Yeah.
And
5 beers, 10 minutes.
You each had one to have. I was supposed to have 5. That's the way the thing went. And so I made no effort to pound them. I have 2 minutes. I will use my 2 minutes and work my way through this. And I remember at the end, I wasn't feeling great because you going to throw up? No. You going to like fall over? No.
Yeah.
Well, you're a loser, right?
Yeah.
You're boring.
Well, we had the staunch.
I was drunk, don't get me wrong, but not to a throw up.
We had the staunch contrast between you and the guy from the year before who was running the gauntlet, who was giving her. He was giving her up front.
Saw no reason to do that.
Yeah, well, it's smart. Yeah. It's not, and he was giving her up front, and he got through the third or the fourth one where we had to clear a bunch of space so he could make it to the sink because he was going to yak. And then he also, after the fourth one, said, I'm not sure if I should be drinking with my medication.
Well, you only got one left. You'll
be fine. Let alone four beers in 8 minutes. And so you're like, Yeah, anyways, he did it. And he was just a mess rest of the night.
I bet, yeah. No, and again, I didn't feel great the rest of the night, but it was cutting a significant pace, but
Well, and after yours, we had to go to a thing where there was chamber music.
Honestly, like a formal, people were yelling about thumbs and asses and all kinds of stuff happening that night.
That was only in our section of the chamber
music. Yes, it's true.
Yes, and there was, actually.
So we've come all the way full circle on rectal exams here on this edition of the podcast, I guess.
Yes, we have. Again, with no gloves.
No. All right. So... I want to shout out the Bytown Beer Sisters. They put on a fantastic event at Craft Beer Market Ottawa right there at Lansdowne on Bank Street on Saturday, and we'd helped promote it a little bit, so went over there and checked that out. Had a really nice turnout. Watched the PWHL Ottawa game. They ended up losing in a shootout, which is sort of their thing, is to go to overtime, win or lose, but
mostly lose.
A lot of losing, but they just don't seem to have any finish in their game or any getaway in their game. Like if they get up, they can't hold a lead. They can't bury somebody. And that sort of continues to play out, but it was a fun time. Good game, nice and close all the way through. Our friend Michaela Schreider was hosting the thing, emceeing, so that was cool. Andrea was on the podcast from the Bytown Beer Sisters 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, I can't remember now, to promote. And so, went over, and they seemed to be happy with the turnout they had. There was some raffle prizes. I won a raffle, Rob. Entered a bunch of them, only won. Actually, one of the raffles was for tickets to a PWHL game. So I entered that several times. also entered one to win an Easter basket from a local brewer. I thought maybe I'd give that to my mother. Maybe she'd enjoy that, unless it was all chocolate, in which case I would keep it for myself,
it
most likely.
Beer.
Yeah. There was a beer giveaway from Craft Ottawa. Didn't win that. Tried to win that. Didn't win that. And anyway, this is where I was going with the story, is there was also tickets that the Ottawa Senators had donated. Sens and Blues at some point. And Shrides was going back up to pick up the microphone and doing something. She said, "Do you want me to take your tickets up?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm just going to enter for the game tickets." She's like, "For the Sens and Blues?" No. Do I need to see the Sens and Blues in early April? I do not. That's not a game. Anyway, terrific time. They put out Craft Ottawa, obviously a fantastic selection of beers that, if I'm being honest, has me feeling just a little bit off today. Did a lot of experimenting, tried many of their taps, but a great event. So shout out to them.
Experimentation, no penetration.
Can't swear to it.
Yeah, a lot of experimenting. I've never been. I've never been down there, and I don't know why.
Well, you've been to TD a bunch of times, like the stadium. I'm surprised you've never been in.
I am equally surprised. why, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Most times, I guess, it's been a, sort of in a family vibe kind of thing. And
well, they have food there.
Yeah, I just haven't. I've ended up at the Craft and Crate a couple times.
Okay.
Anyways, just haven't.
Yeah.
Haven't for whatever reason. And so
there's a Barley Mow not far from there. There's a Jack Astor's in that area.
I'm like, a firm Barley Mow guy.
We've had this conversation.
No, I'm kidding. I am totally a Barley Mow guy.
I honestly have no idea which is correct.
It was Josh and I the one time.
Have it at her?
Yeah. He was like, "I don't care really about it." So anyways, that was my intro to Josh.
Yeah.
Like within 30 seconds. Oh, you mean you were at the Barley Mow? It's like, "I don't care. I've heard this conversation before." So good for Josh. He was right up front with it.
Yeah. Well, no doubt you wouldn't let it go. Tell me I'm right.
Yeah, no, it was, maybe.
Maybe.
That's, it doesn't seem entirely out of character.
But I may have had the best, I don't know if it's a new stout. It was a new stout to me. This is the best new stout maybe I've tried in 2-3 years.
Do tell, Matt, do tell.
This is from the Counterpart Brewing Company down in Niagara, and it's called the Roller Stout.
She's a roller, a high roller baby. Yeah?
Sure.
Little April Wine, man. Come on. Yeah.
You and my old man, if he's listening today, probably getting that reference.
Yeah, he'll have his fist above his head. Yeah.
Always, man.
That's it. Come on, man. He knows how it goes.
Unless the bursitis is acting up.
Ooh!
I can't get up there.
Got it halfway up.
Yeah. Terrific. It's 6.6%. And before I even sipped it, I could smell, like, this smelled almost like a caramel bar.
Like heaven?
Yeah. As a place on earth. I'm kind of... Yeah. Do you know what that's worth?
Belinda Carlisle?
I have no idea, maybe. And so I'm trying this this stout, and I immediately... It was the second beer I had. I'd already had one from Brimstone Brewing Company, which is in Ridgeway, Ontario. When I got home, I had to ask Siri, "Where's Ridgeway, Ontario?" And she said, "It's 95 kilometers from Toronto." And I said, "In which direction?" And she said nothing.
Figure it out yourself, Matt.
Yeah. So I have no idea exactly where. But they had a nice stout as well. But this one that caught my attention, like I said, is from, or it's called the Roller Stout from Counterpart Brewing Company. It before I even sipped it, it smelled like a caramel bar. It was kind of creamy. It was kind of had that sweetness to it. And I said, "I'm going to just stay right here. This is where I'm going to spend the rest of my night, is on this." Not just this one pint of it, but I will not move from this beer for the rest of the night. But at a place like Craft, you kind of get like, no, I got to try another one of these taps, right? I got to try something else. And so I moved around, and maybe I'm being unfair, so I won't name the beers. Maybe I was just, I'd already found the grit and everything else was going to be disappointing, but I tried a couple IPAs afterwards. I tried one other stout, and all of them were just like, no, this is a letdown. I ended up circling back. Finishing at this one. So I'm going to be placing an order from the Counterpart Brewing Company in Niagara Falls. And like I said, this one, it stood out like it had a caramel bar flavor to it. And so I was surprised when I jumped on Untappd to look at what else they had. They actually had a counterpart roller Twix, a counterpart roller Coffee Crisp. Like, so they didn't name this one after a chocolate bar. That's just what it reminded me of. But apparently they do have some other ones that are, and you know me,
so, man. So you were thinking it was like a Rolo.
Yeah. Well, I didn't really know off the name what it was going to be until I got it. And I was like, oh, this tastes like a caramel bar. But when I went looking afterwards, like, they have actually leaned into the chocolate bar flavors of a couple of these.
See, and I was wondering, you know, what it, you know, is it a milk stout? Like, what kind of...
It was kind of creamy, but I wouldn't, it wasn't a milk stout.
Oatmeal.
Like, it was an oatmeal stout.
To me, what the base model was, right?
Your
dry oatmeal milk, right? And so I just was interested in what...
Yeah.
Because I don't love the chocolate. You had me, and then you're like, ah, oh, and they're all these different, and I'm like, it's not a fucking blizzard. I'm not. You got an Oreo roller?
Like, well, like I said, this roller, they say it's their straight up oatmeal stout.
Okay, it is an oatmeal.
Yeah, I found it sweet, like a caramel bar or whatever. Okay. It was when I jumped on the website and saw, oh, you also have the roller stout with a Twix flavor or with a Coffee Crisp flavor.
Because absolutely, the oatmeal will be creamier
and
will be slightly sweeter, right?
100%.
To begin with, right? As the base model. So that makes sense to me.
Right. So I did win in the raffle. It was funny. There was clearly a couple people there who were rightly, you know, this whole thing was a fundraiser. There was people throwing tickets in. When you got there with your ticket to go to the event, you got two raffle tickets, and then you could buy as many more as you want. So one guy had clearly just entered, bought some tickets and entered everything. There was a bunch of stuff being given away, and he won. I'm not sure he was interested either time, but twice with both of his tickets, he won a spin class.
He won two separate spin classes?
Like from the same place, but they had given away two spin classes, and he won them both. I won tickets to the PWHL Ottawa game late in April. I can't remember the exact date. And then they drew for the second pair, and I won those too. So I was kind of like, why don't you... donate them back, right? Like, draw again, draw somebody else. And so that was kind of fun. But Kraft was giving away a bucket of beer, they were calling it. I had entered for that, didn't end up winning it. There was an Easter basket thing. There was Sens and Blues tickets. There was a PWHL Ottawa jersey. Anyway, pretty cool event. Lots of good turnout and lots of people supporting it. So I would suggest, if you're into this sort of thing, like just a gathering of people getting together to drink beer and watch sports, give at Bytown Beer Sisters a follow on Instagram.
Nice. Yeah. Do you know, I know you said it was a bunch of stuff going on and Ottawa lost the game in overtime.
Yeah.
What was the crowd like in Detroit? Did you get a handle on that?
I believe I heard around 13,000.
Okay.
And so that's not bad, because sometimes it's a hard sell if you don't have a horse in the race, right? Like, we don't have a team, but we do have to show up if we want to entice them to come here. I think Detroit would probably be a good market for them.
Yeah.
So I believe what I heard was around 13,000. It looked like a good crowd. There is another game on Sunday afternoon, as you and I are talking. Toronto and Montreal are playing in Pittsburgh. I haven't seen the attendance for that yet, but tough there. Marie-Philippe Poulin is her. She probably would have been the biggest name, right? So that's rough. But Pittsburgh has also had a good history when they used to do those, when it was the PWHPA anyway, they would travel around and barnstorm, and Pittsburgh always turned out well.
I love the term barnstorm.
Yeah, that's fun. So, you know, they'll have a good turnout as well. I don't know if this matters to you at all. I'm curious. At the same time, like this same weekend, Minnesota played New York, I believe in Minnesota. Do you think it would have made any difference at all? Like, it's Toronto, Montreal, and Pittsburgh, and Ottawa, Boston, in Detroit. If you'd sent the American teams, like, it is odd that two of the three American teams are playing each other in a non exposure game. I don't know what you want to call it.
Yeah, right? No, I get it. That three of the four teams are playing.
Yeah, they're Canadian teams going to these American markets.
Yeah. I don't think so. I think with what this league has got and the momentum is, people are really interested in supporting the idea of women's hockey more than I'm going to throw my support behind the Boston PWHL team or the New York team, whatever it is. I think people at this point who are interested, male, female, whatever, are interested in in supporting the idea of women's pro hockey. I think so. I understand what you're saying, and maybe it's a small factor, but I don't think it's a huge factor.
And I guess, like, it doesn't look like it, right? They have had good attendance, so maybe it didn't matter. The other thing that made it a little surprising to me, and to be fair, I don't know whose home games these were. Like, if this one in Pittsburgh is a Toronto home game, that's only, for now, at Mattamy, a 3,000-seat building. Yep. But Ottawa, like, if it was a Montreal home game, they're getting 7,000 some of these nights.
And yeah, so, they're playing at a Verdun, I think. Right?
Yeah, well, they've been back and forth between, yeah, Verdun and Laval, I think, Place Belle or whatever. Yep. And again, the Ottawa-Boston game, I don't know whose home game that was, but Ottawa's been drawing a strong
6 to 8 sort of averaging.
Yeah.
In there, yeah.
So I don't know. It just, you know, it was just a question. It was just a thought I'd had.
I would really hope. I understand. It seems early to me to be throwing these trial balloons up, right? I would hope like hell that this team would, I mean, this league would spend 5 years solidifying the market, seeing where they're at in terms of the depth of talent. And
I'd be shocked if it takes that long, though, wouldn't you? Like, I'm not sure I disagree, but I get the same. Like, I don't think it'll be next year, but I'd be surprised a little bit if within 2 years they're not in maybe Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I just hope they don't go too fast, you know, too far.
Just
too
two
fast.
More, maybe, for now.
Because they have the talent for two more teams.
Yeah.
I just
think, because we haven't seen any of the Europeans yet, almost at all. Like, a lot of them are just being brought over now that the European season is over. I think you could do it, but I am with you. You don't want to dilute it. You don't want to get too big too fast.
Right. Then you end up having Pittsburgh as an expansion team that's just getting wrecked.
Yeah.
Right? Like, to me, you have these six existing franchises who...
There's pretty good parity so far.
Yeah, for sure there is. And so you would hate to go, yeah, we've taken the cream off the top. And while there's still good players, I don't pretend to know how deep the pool is.
Yeah.
But yeah, you would hate to think that, yeah, we've taken the absolute, you know, best 80 players,
right,
divided them up and then kind of went, okay, you guys get the rest.
Right.
And maybe get one or two from these teams as well. But I just, I would hope that they would just let it settle, strengthen the core, build out. That's just my personal wish.
Yeah.
And see what happens next year, right? When you go with...
Especially attendance-wise.
Well, because right
is
now...
Is there a little novelty to it? Is there... I think the league is strong. They've shown that. But what happens, because it was also only 24 games this year, it was half season, right? Like, when you fire up and you got to sell that many more tickets and the novelty is worn off and maybe you're, I don't know, New York or whoever, who's already struggled with attendance and you're not very good, like, how does your attendance go, right? Like, I'm with you. I would wait a little, but I won't be surprised if they announce this summer that, not for this next coming season, but for the one after, they're going to expand by two.
Well, and as of right now, you have all three networks. You have CBC, Sportsnet, TSN are all covering some games, right? Like, it's everywhere, and everybody's got this sort of kumbaya approach to it, right?
Yep.
Fans are interested in supporting it, and it's super, the exposure is highly elevated, and you're kind of at a dream start.
Right.
I would like to see them build off of this really solid dreamlike start before you start trying to go, okay, well, guess what? We're now going 12 teams. And you're like, oh man.
That's way too much for sure.
So get yourself some logos, solidify the core.
Yep.
And build out from your original six. That's my opinion.
Agreed. This past week marked the 4-year anniversary of sports closing. Monday was the anniversary of the Rudy Gobert testing positive after having like rubbed the
touching
microphones of every reporter
and phones.
Yeah. Tuesday, of this past week, again, just kind of day by day, would have been the day that the NBA, the NHL, and it sounds funny to say, but maybe the biggest one was March Madness going, yeah, we're not going ahead, right? Which is just such a moneymaker for everyone involved down there when they shut it down. We had Mike Wilner on the podcast Friday afternoon. If you missed that, go back and check it. He had a ton of really great insight on the Blue Jays. But I also asked him, what do you remember about being in Florida? And he was talking about he had been making plans for his kids to come down to Florida for his 50th birthday to spend a long weekend and celebrate and see a game, go maybe to a beach or whatever else. And they had sort of asked a couple times, like, are you worried about this? And he goes, no, it'll be fine. And this day where you just pump the brakes hard and go, yeah, no, 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 you're not coming. In fact, I'm looking to get the hell back home as quick as possible. I'm just curious what your memories of that kind of week or couple of weeks were. The story's been told many times, you and I talking about, you know, I suggested the NHL might have to shut down for a week or two, and I was being the more alarmist of the two of us.
Matt, and such an alarmist.
And I undersold it by quite a bit. I'm just curious if you have any kind of memories of that time period in terms of what we thought was going to happen around sports, or you know, this show got shut down for a couple weeks, then we had to move online.
I think of you. Yeah, you had it spot.
I think of you.
Yeah, you saying we're in here, we're in the studio, and you're like, yeah, what about this and what about that? And I think this is going to be. And I'm like, oh man, Matt is such an Eeyore, right? Like, just
thanks for noticing.
Yeah, like get over it and get on with it. Like, it's going to happen. Something's going to go on, but what you're talking about is like societal shaking kind of change. Yeah. Well, like, and you, as you suggested, you were like, you were in the right area, but even what you were saying was so far off. And I think about that NBA game, the final NBA game,
when yes.
that audio, the game hadn't started, the sort of the
in-house announcer,
the shoot around is happening and the in-house announcer
says,
no need to worry. But everybody go home.
Yeah,
game has been canceled.
Postponed.
And you hear one woman who said, it's like somebody's been shot, right? and it's just, it's like the sound of like people are surprised, shocked. Nobody knows what's happening.
Yeah. And
that to me was like the initial shot fired of the pandemic where people are like, what?
Yeah.
Really? And I think of... yeah, my stepdaughter, she was supposed to fly out on the Friday to Florida for a week.
Right.
Go to Disney, do all that sort of stuff. And as of Thursday, they were still like, do we go? Do we not go? And I'm like, I don't think you should go because I don't think there's any guarantees you get back when borders get, like if borders
right.
get locked down, like then you're stuck in Florida.
Yep.
And well, like, poof, that sounds like a terrible idea at the best of times.
Oh. You and I were organizing a tournament at that point, a provincial championship. And my most vivid memory of that was you and I and one of the other guys we work with trading some emails and deciding, let's send out a letter to everyone who's coming and say, for this year, we're going to forego the handshakes after every game.
Yeah.
And being like, maybe it's a little over the top, but that's going to be our safety measure. Now is it about 10:30 in the morning? By 3 o'clock, we were canceling the tournament. It happened that fast that day. If all these other leagues who have the millions and millions of dollars necessary to protect their people are shutting down, we probably shouldn't do our thing, right? Like,
yeah.
And I had been trading emails. We were going to take our team to New Jersey. I had been trading emails that morning with the organizer down there. And again, by 3 o'clock, you're like, oh, by the way, we're not coming. Like, it just unraveled that fast when everything started getting canceled, coming off the table. And yeah, you're not even interested in trying to cross the border. And like I said, Wilner talking about, on that one morning had said to his kids, it'll be fine. You might as well fly down. And he goes, by that afternoon, after that Blue Jays spring training game, he was on his laptop on Air Canada trying to book a flight home. Because we all that fast started hearing rumors about the border is going to close, not immediately, but the warnings were coming out. Hey, if you're a Canadian somewhere, get home, right? Like at some point, this is going to be a thing. It was wild, man. And for months, like I think golf came back early, and that might have been not the league. Maybe was that when they did the first Tiger and celeb friend versus Phil and celeb friend was like
Peyton Manning and
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and Tiger versus, you know, Phil and Tom Brady, whatever,
something like that.
Yeah,
yeah. And it was just a Phil. Remember the Michael Jordan doc was supposed to come out in May or June, and they were like, well, everyone's Last stuck Dance. At home. Let's just drop that right now. And that ended up we talked about that on this show. And neither one of us are basketball guys, but I think we both took that down because why not? Stuck at home anyway. It was awesome.
Loved it.
The whole thing was UFC was talking about building Fight Island. Yeah. Like just the ideas on how to try and get around this and get back to having some sort of sports presence whether it's on Crave or whatever, it might just be called the day that sports stopped or something. It's a 90-minute documentary. They're interviewing different athletes from all different sports that I watched it last summer. It was awesome, man. But the doc was awesome. The time period, not quite as awesome.
And I think about it because late in that first week, so like the 15th of March, I work in a shutdown, a locked facility to begin with.
Right.
So already very controlled in terms of the numbers and who comes and goes. Yeah, they told us, you're not coming back. You're leaving.
I've tried to tell you that a bunch of times. It's never worked. Yeah, but
well, the difference is you're not paying me.
It's true. I'm not.
Well, at least.
You'd think that would make you more likely to be willing to leave.
Yeah. But just you're like, what? And I think about it and I'm like, man, the 4-year anniversary, for some reason, it seems more to resonate more with me this year than last year. Maybe because we feel, well, there's so much less information about it, right?
Like, yeah.
It's not omnipresent.
Yeah, we're done talking about it.
It's not gone.
No.
But we are certainly done with it being it's gonna rule the day.
Right.
But like I didn't miss a paycheck. I worked right through the pandemic. I worked from home for 3 months.
Right.
Yeah, 3 months, 2.5 months. And it sucked for me, right? Like the whole thing sucked for me. And I was basically, short of going to work versus working from home, unaffected, really.
Right.
And so I can only imagine how many other people suffered so much more than I did.
Yeah, depending on your living conditions or your medical outlook or restaurants or whatever it might be, right? Like if you were trying to run a small flower shop, whatever, right? Like people just weren't going in anywhere. We've talked a bunch of times on the podcast about the change that got pumped into the craft beer industry, right? All of a sudden, delivery that had never been a thing before, everybody was doing. And we've never seen that rescind or go away again.
Well, I was out, I had a couple stalwart beers on here, about 6 weeks ago?
Something like that.
And I was out to Carlton Place and I stopped in. I'd never been into Stalwart, but I was telling them, yeah, hey, you're the first brewery I ordered from in the lockdown, right? I got a little butterfly, Hummingbird Chocolate, which is another local business out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Get a little chocolate, a little beer. So it's, and they were like, yeah, well, thanks for supporting, right? It was, but that's what it was, right? Like we were going to an Italian restaurant and they would put together, you know, a meal for four. And they would, including a bottle of wine you could buy and take away. And so just the things you were trying to do, but it's amazing. You and I who do this sports podcast, how much a part of your life sports is. Right. And I know it's not for everybody.
Sure.
20% of the population, at least that's what my broadcast journalism teacher tells me, that those are the people who care. But the people who care really care.
Right.
And it's such a driving, whether I'm watching it, whether I'm talking about it, whether I'm listening to somebody else talk about it or I'm reading about it. Yeah, it is one of the biggest factors in my life.
Yep.
And for it to be gone. Like you're like, you never thought.
Remember they tried to like a couple nights a week. Here's Detroit, New Jersey from the 95 Cup final. Or here's
terrible.
I couldn't get into it. I just couldn't get into it. Like it was far enough back like that it's not like I remembered the results of the games. They were I just couldn't care less. It was tough. I don't honestly even remember what I would watch. And look, we've talked about it 100 times, so I don't have to get it. I was being extra cautious. I have a medical whatever. And so I was staying home. I stayed home a lot longer than a lot of people. And I don't remember during those, you know, from April through July. And in August, baseball came back. The NHL came back in the bubble. Basketball fired back up at Disney World, which was kind of a cool backdrop that they had organized.
Except for that guy who wanted to get out to the strip joint and grab his wings.
I sort of get it. But for those couple of months, I don't remember what the hell I was doing to keep busy. I just, there was no sports, like you said. I couldn't be bothered to watch some of the classic games. It was just a weird time, man.
And sports movies?
Sports movie, yeah.
Like they're throwing...
Here's now, Tin Cup on Tuesday night on TSN. Yeah.
Bull Durham.
Sure.
But it's funny because the things I remember watching and halfway sort of sticking with... Yeah, Last Dance was good.
Yep.
But in terms of classic games, they played that classic Montreal-Detroit game, the one where Waugh was in for 8 or 9 goals. I remember watching that and sort of being riveted to that game.
Sure. And but for me, only up until he got pulled, and then you're like, well, fuck.
Yeah, of course. And he goes back, and you can see him and...
Ronald Corey.
Yeah, Ronald Corey, but I'm trying to think of the coach. Old shit face there.
Old shit face.
Super angry.
It's not Demare?
No, super angry.
Michelle Therrien?
No, anyways, no. We're both waving at it.
Can I name some more shit faces?
Yeah. No, and he was a former Hab. He's a former Hab player. And
I thought Jacques Demare was the coach at that point.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
No. Anyways, it doesn't matter. And, and somebody listening to this is yelling.
As always.
Idiots. Yes. But also, I was semi-riveted to the replaying of the 92 and 93 World Series.
Yeah, they did do that. Yeah.
I was as somebody who was like 19 or 20, you know, when those happened.
Yeah, they replayed every game.
Yeah, I was, as somebody who lived through them, like tooth and nail, like just nail-biting times.
Right.
As a fan, I'm living on my own at that point, and it just was awesome, right? As a longtime Jays fan, long time in those days, like 10 years. But it was, those are the things that sort of stick out to me in terms of what I was dialed into.
And now that you say that, I remember it coming back to me. Wrestling was actually one of the very first things, because Vince was, he doesn't give a shit. He's going to make his money. He's going to produce his show.
He's so hepped up on whatever he's got going on.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
And so they were in Florida at, they have like a training center down there where they bring in all their new recruits and teach them. And they started doing Monday Night Raw and Friday Night Smack. And they actually did, because it was only like 2 or 3 weeks before their biggest show of the year, WrestleMania, right? And they did WrestleMania at the training center in front of no crowd. And I can remember, and I certainly understand what most people think of wrestling, and it's not like I'm unaware of that, and it's not like in some cases I don't agree. I never felt sillier watching wrestling than when there was no crowd. It's just two people pretending to fight, and you need that cheering. You need that atmosphere. Otherwise, you're just like, what are we even watching here right now? And it changed the way they had to do the shows, because typically – I don't want to spoil this for anybody, but the two guys working together will say to each other, like, watch the clothesline or next is the whatever. And now they can't, because you're going to hear it. And the ring sounded so much louder on every slam because it was not being drowned out by the crowd.
For sure.
So everything about it, I remember thinking, I'm so happy at least I can kind of get back to watching wrestling every week as something that I enjoy. And a couple weeks in, just being like, this sucks. Like, this, as much as it ever did, feels incredibly lame, right? Like, well, that's the way I felt in that moment, was just like, it's just two people. They play the music and you do your pose and your walk down the ramp and you're like, what am I looking at right now? Like in an empty, in an empty building.
In an empty warehouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. And there's all kinds of insert wrestling shot here. But I think you've already sort of, you've copped enough to it that you're like.
Eh, yeah, I get it.
I'm a grown ass man and I'm watching Saturday morning cartoons.
Basically.
Whatever.
I might have felt better about myself having done that.
Yeah, Rocket Robin Hood.
Sure.
Ooh, that's a throwback.
Way back, man. As you and I sit here on Sunday afternoon, we've saw two different debuts for the Blue Jays in spring. Yuriel Rodriguez makes his first start. He had battled. He's the big Cuban signing this year that they weren't sure whether or not, you know, this first year was going to be a little figured out, up and down. He battled a back injury early in spring training. So this was his Blue Jays debut. The first inning, he walks a guy, gets taken deep, gives up a double. He looked better in the second inning, but not a super encouraging. Now, we've talked about this before in spring training. We don't know what he was told to work on. Maybe it shouldn't be all that alarming. But it's a split squad today, and on the road, Joey Votto went with the other team in the non-televised game, which is, that's really nice, the one we're actually interested in. The first pitch he sees in a Toronto Blue Jays spring training game, he takes deep, home run. Didn't see what happened after that as you and I came in here to start working, but I'm just curious. It's funny that I tried to call this working. It's curious to me, or I'm curious what you think the Joey Votto upside might be. You and I haven't talked about this since they announced that he was going to come down to spring training. Did that grab your attention at all? Do you think he's washed, or is this something you're intrigued by? What do you think of the Joey Votto thing?
I think it's a huge PR move, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, like,
they need some good PR.
Well, they do. They do. And it's like they've said, okay, well, we've came up short on all these other things. What does it hurt for us to bring in Joey Votto, right?
And to be fair, it sounds like he called them.
Yep.
So, because I'm sure for Atkins, that was a dangerous thing. If I call Joey Votto and invite him to camp and then have to cut him, the people don't like me already.
Yeah, zero chance of cutting him.
Well,
I don't see that happening. Once they've committed to bringing him in, I don't see them.
So you think he's, no matter what, he's making the roster?
I think so. Whew. I think he's got a spot on that 40 man.
So when I talked to Wilner about it, I asked him, I said, do you think it's as simple as him having to beat out Vogelbach? And he said, yes, you can't have both of those guys on your roster. And so Vogelbach actually got off to a decent start. It's kind of trailed off a little bit since then. But I think Joey Votto took them off the hook in every regard. He called them. He said, I'll come in as a non-roster invite. He has said all the right things to the media. Hey, one of the reporters asked him, like, why are you willing right now to go to these minor league games and, offering to start in the minors? He goes, because right now I'm a minor league player. There is no major league team who has offered me a contract. So this is what I got. Like, he's doing everything he can also, I think, to let them off the hook. And at that point, why wouldn't you do it? Why wouldn't you take a look?
Yeah, I just think that whatever pop he's going to get from the crowd, whatever that is going to be.
Yeah.
I think his bat off the bench is going to be equal to or better than whatever Vogelbach can bring or Eduardo Escobar or right. Whatever, yeah. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
I think in terms of what he does for the home crowd, the buzz that will come from that. And I think there's a possibility that he can still do a little
something.
Well,
he only hit 202 last year, but he hit 14 home runs in only about 70, 75 games.
Yeah.
And he wasn't healthy. So is there a chance as a left-handed bat he could come in and get you 20 home runs this year? He's not going to start every day, so he's not going to hit 20 home. But it shows there's something there still.
I think if he got 8-12 as a guy coming off the bench, maybe he plays the odd first. I have whatever happens.
Yeah, he'll start some games, right, as DH or...
So to me,
They trusted him 40 games at first base last year. Like, he could...
Yeah.
Maybe more than you want Justin Turner at first. Like, I don't know. Now, it is interesting. Last year, Joey Votto was the second oldest player in the NL, and Nelson Cruz was the oldest, and he retired. Over in the AL, Justin Turner was the second oldest player behind Miguel Cabrera, and Miguel Cabrera retired. So maybe it shouldn't matter. Maybe it should. I don't know. But the Jays, in theory, could have the two oldest players in Major League Baseball on their roster this year.
Turner, more competitive and valuable.
Yep.
Than any of those other guys last year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for sure.
It is. But if you can, because you are talking about what you do, those two guys are, while they're not one guy.
Yeah. They're sort of the same guy on opposite sides of the plate.
And all I'm saying is, I think Turner, unless he craters, is a more.
Which is on the table.
Which is a more valuable bat.
Yep.
But he's not starting a ton at third.
No.
And so...
I don't think we've seen him at third at all yet this spring. Like, that's clearly not something they're thinking about.
Right. And so you are looking at which one of those two guys is going to be... Does Turner start games as a DH?
Right.
And in left-handed opportunities against righties late in games?
Yeah.
Is that where you bring Votto in? Right? Is that what we're looking at here in terms of... any odd start at first?
Yeah.
I think... one of those positions where you utilize Votto on the regular or whoever's not starting gets in 2 to 3 games because you are utilizing that bat late in games.
So I'm a little confused by your stance on this in the sense that do you think Votto can contribute or do you think this is just a PR move?
I think it's a PR move that may be able to contribute a bit.
Okay.
I see it first and foremost as a win, no matter how small, for the organization. You go, yeah, okay, I see what we're doing. We'll bring him back. And you're right. I do believe that he was his, you know, he's tweeting out, you know, the pictures of him sitting on a park bench. Yeah. Like, he's like, hey, man.
Yeah.
What?
He's playing with shopping carts and he's whatever.
I got things. I'm not doing anything.
Right.
Right. Kind of like
somebody call me.
Kind of like Phil Kessel in the, you know, when Team USA is losing, you know, he's like, hey, what are you doing?
Kind of like Phil Kessel this winter.
Yeah. Just me and my dog hanging out. Sure wish you guys could score somewhere. A goal, you know, blah, blah. So Votto is a little like that, right? You've had a shitty preseason, you know, off season.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything.
I've said a couple times on the show, for me, expectations incredibly low, excitement, though, really high.
For Votto, for the team?
For Votto.
Okay.
I look at it and I say the worst case scenario in how all this plays out is that it doesn't work, but we got a bunch of cool shots of Joey Votto in Blue Jays gear and taking at-bats. I think, and we'll see how the next week or so, we're actually less than 2 weeks from opening day now. I think unless he totally lights it up, he's going to start either not necessarily with Buffalo, but maybe an extended spring training and stay in Florida.
Yeah, okay.
And then maybe the Jays, like last year, starting with a 10-game road trip in case there were delays at the renovations at home. That's why that's been booked. So I wouldn't be surprised if things continue to go well and he stays healthy, if he gets called up for that first homestand. And when you do the home opener, he gets the ovation.
He gets to get called out in the out to the line.
And has that moment. And then we'll see how it goes from there. But I would be surprised if he starts on the road with them here for those first, because he did come in late as well.
Well, can he catch? Is there any chance that we could put him behind the plate? Because...
Well, IKF can catch and Varsho can catch. I don't know how many backup catchers we need.
Well, if Danny Jansen keeps getting hit in the hand,
honest to God,
then you know, somebody needs to do it on him, maybe, because you know Kirky's not gonna.
Kirky can't be catching all the time.
That's when they're saying, yeah, he'll be good for the first week or so. And you're like, I don't know, man. That seems like a lot.
Yeah.
For the little Mexican garden gnome. Hey, am I right?
Yes.
On both the handle and...
Well, I've always said he looks like a South Park character.
For sure, like, a little Weeble.
Yeah.
Whatever, right? He just gets out there.
Yeah.
Trucking. Nobody stretches a triple into a double like Kirky does.
Or a double into a single. Yeah, more alarmingly. Yeah.
For you old school fans, a little Cecil Fielder action.
Sure. Or Prince. Let's take a break here. We'll grab another pint. We'll come back. We'll talk a little hockey.
Okay.
So, I lied. We're going to talk a little more baseball first, but first, pints.
Pints! Pints!
You switch it up from the Guinness?
I have. But Guinness is gorgeous.
Always is, man.
Right? Guinness for courage. Guinness for strength. Guinness for extra loquaciousness. Just Guinness for all-around general good health.
Pints of Guinness make us strong.
Yep. That being said, I am sticking with the Irish dry stout, though.
Hmm.
I've gone to, this is called the April dry stout from Burdock Brewing.
Okay.
Right there in some part of Toronto. So.
Right in the T dot.
Yeah.
Dot.
Right in the dot.
So. Oh, boy.
So small cans. Not loving the small can. Well, I love the small can.
It's become
can.
A bit of a thing for you, eh? Everything you're bringing in here
is
limited quantity.
It's highly. That's why I got two of them.
All right,
which is fine, right?
Yeah,
If you're not going to give me the 445, 460, I don't know what the...
Something like that, 445
maybe. I'll take two 355s.
And I'll be doing just fine.
Yeah. So I have poured mine into a, you know, nice... Did you pour your Guinness into a...
I did not.
You fucking Yeah,
I can't believe you did it.
Yeah, but with the widget and everything, yeah, like, it's to me, it's just... I don't understand it, but I can get behind it if you're just cracking a... Mm-hmm. A Muskoka Chinook Stout, but with the widget and all, and it's, you got it going on there. You're, it's like leaving 30% on the table.
Get the fuck out, bitch.
That's what I'm saying.
No, that's what I'm saying. We can't all say it.
Yeah, we can actually. All right. Because it works.
I have moved over to the Ashton Brewing Company.
Yeah. Is it the stout?
It is not.
Is it the porter?
No, it's not. You want to keep going, or are you going to let me talk?
Is it the Irish Dry Red?
Yeah, yeah. This is the Blackstone Cream Ale.
Okay, is it?
I've never tried this one before. I thought I had tried basically everything out of Ashton, because...
Because I thought I had one of those in the fridge. Did you take my beer?
No, this is the one Bunda brought me 2 weeks ago.
Because I had an extra one of those, the Blackstone, in there.
I don't know what to tell you.
You're drinking my beer!
Anyway...
Yeah, anyways.
Should we talk about the green room beer, or we want to just roll on?
Yeah.
All right. This says it's done in celebration of our armed men and women. I've not heard of this pint. There is a portion of sales of this beer that go to the Blackstone Foundation, which, again, I'm not super familiar with. I should become more familiar. And really, if I was better at doing this show, I would have looked that up beforehand.
25 cents for every liter.
It does seem like he knows a lot about this beer. It's possible I'm drinking this beer. I'm pretty sure this is the one Bunda brought me.
Totally. And you know what, Matt? I leave so many beers here that don't get drank.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
I'm going to.
Drink my beer.
That wasn't on the table. I was going to drink it.
All right, here it is. Tentative. That's what I would call that.
It's Sunday after a long night at the pub. A lot of things are tentative.
Yes, exactly. That was actually...
This is very much a cream ale would be my first impression on that.
I didn't get a lot of cream from it when I drank it. And I may have had that on the show here a couple weeks ago. Don't know.
There's confusion in the studio at this point.
Not really. Okay. Not really. It's just one of those things. But yeah, you liking it? You're not liking it?
I wouldn't say I'm not liking it.
Okay, I found it. Sorry,
Ashton. Is it possible to be creamy and dry at the same time? It's got kind of a dry finish to it.
Well, see, and they do. I think it's called Irene. They do an Irish red ale.
Yes, they do.
Which I liked quite a bit more than
Come on, Irene.
Yep.
Close enough.
Yeah, it is totally.
Yeah.
Good old Johnny Ray. Yeah, it is. It's. I didn't love that beer. I found it to be, pedestrian is what I'm going to say. Weak, maybe another word
weak.
For it.
Okay.
But you know what, Ashton? You can only do so much.
Yeah, they can't all be winners.
They cannot all be winners. I found it to be.
That's what the good listener is thinking right now, listening to this edition of the podcast.
I found that to be one of those beers I would not buy again.
Okay.
So if that is my beer you're drinking.
You weren't going to drink it anyway.
Cilantro, Matt. Have at it.
Look at that. Seasonal. topical. Whatever you want to go with. I want to circle back to baseball just briefly because it came up in the news this week. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in an interview with Hazel May suggested he'd like to see the home run jacket come back. And I got to tell you, I sort of thought we were done with this conversation. I actually hoped we were done with this conversation. I was grateful we were done with this conversation. And he's brought it back. He said he would like to see it again. He goes, even if it's just me, that's fine. And he goes, I also look forward to embracing whatever everybody else would like to do as a celebration. I'll get in on that too. I think he was going out of his way to say, hey, I want the fucking jacket again. But... I will still be a part of any other team endorsed, you know, lots of teams do these home run celebrations. It's some kind of helmet or it's
sombrero.
Sure. So it just felt like 2 years ago when they did this, it became this huge thing. It was obviously divisive in the clubhouse. There were guys you could tell by the end of the season who were putting it on who didn't want to.
Matt Chapman.
Yep. And I
not
wonder
here anymore.
No. So I wonder if that's part of why this has come up again. But it sure also feels a lot like Bo was part of the, I don't have any interest in fucking doing this again. And I wonder if that's where this becomes, if Vlad is willing and the team is willing to make this just a Vlad thing, I think that's okay. But if you're going to, I don't know, game two or three of the season, I don't remember, did they take the jacket on the road or was it just a home thing?
They took it on the road.
Yeah. Let's say in game two, Ernie Clement hits a home run. What kind of stress are you putting on Ernie Clement as he's rounding second and third and going, when I get back there, Vlad's going to be holding up the jacket and Bo's going to be scowling at me. Do I have to pick a side, right? Do I become part of a, and if I do put it on or I don't put it on, what's the media going to ask? Because the media is going to ask about the stupid home run jacket. Do you think we're going to see it again? And if so, if not, like, is this going to become a thing? Because I firmly believe Bo is anti-home run jacket. And these are your two guys. Those are your two leaders.
And the thing is, you had the people who didn't want to wear it, and you had the break last year where
it went
you
away.
Also lost Gurriel, and you lost Teoscar.
Yeah, you took away his Vladdy's two buds.
His two Barrios buddies, you know.
Yeah.
And you're like, Barrios. Or
Barrio.
Barrio. Yeah. No, Barrios is still here.
Right.
You took those guys were gone. The jacket went. It's going to be a more, hey, man, this is work-like, and we're here to win games and not be jackasses.
Yeah, we're going to be an unfun team this year. And they lived up to that in spades.
Well, they were actually the most unlikable Blue Jay team in 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by one of the more unlikable Ottawa Senator teams. So it's been a long year, actually.
We'll get to them in a moment.
For Rob.
For Rob.
Rob's fandom. It's really been tough. If you're going to have your own home run jacket, you better hit 50 dingers. This better be... Like, you're not a 12 home run guy and going, where's my jacket at?
And to be clear, he didn't say, I will be the... He did say, though, if I'm the only one who wants to wear it, that's okay with me. But he didn't insist, it's just for me now.
Yeah.
I agree with you. You do center your... You can't hit 12... Like, hit two home runs a month and be coming back and grabbing
Where's my jacket? Where's the jacket?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Get it off the hanger. Let's go.
It's got some dust on it, Vlad.
Yeah. And so you better be... Yeah, because you better be the guy. Because there is... I'm standing at the urinal and using two hands to hold it. Because that's... That is... That is big.
Bragger.
Hard. I wasn't suggesting. I usually have two behind my head.
Just hips swaying. Yeah.
It's dicey. Dicey if the team is like, nah, and you want to go. But the flip side is we spent, whether it was a month ago or pre-spring training, talking about taking Vlad to arbitration and going, yeah, no, Vlad, we're not doing that. You know, what that looks like in terms of further...
If Vlad thinks this is important, yeah, I don't know that I want to keep taking things he likes away from him, right? Like, I don't know. I do feel like, though, right now it's been left oddly open-ended, and you're going to put some pressure on some... Like, George Springer doesn't give a shit if he... But some of these new guys, what does David Schneider do if he's coming... Am I going to put it on? Am I not? And am I saying I'm Team Bo versus Team Vlad? What happens in the media after? Like, I think as a group, as stupid as this sounds, they're going to have to sit down and talk about, again, are we doing the jacket or are we not doing the home run jacket?
Well, and the thing is, I understand what you're talking about in terms of young guys coming up, Horowitz.
Yeah.
Right? Any of these sorts of guys, what do you do, right? But if I am not a home run hitting guy, and Horowitz is not really, he's a...
No.
I'm putting a jacket on. I want the jacket, man.
Sure.
If I'm hitting 3 or 6 homers a year,
yeah,
one a month, I'm like, I'm stretching it out here, man.
Sure.
Give me the coat.
Yeah.
Give me the one the
big
boy
wears.
Get me on
camera. This is, yeah, exactly.
Because that's what I'm flexing, too. Getting the jacket on.
On 2 years ago, it had, if you recall, it had the flag inside of every nationality of everyone on the team. Like... At the time, I remember looking at that and thinking the jacket was a little silly, but hey, they're having a good time. It's a 6-month season. If it's helping keep things light, what do I care? But it apparently wasn't keeping things light. It was sowing...
the seeds of love?
Nope. It was sowing dissension, I guess, in the group. And so I think you either have to decide going into the season, this is just Vlad's, which is dicey enough, as you've pointed out, or we're not doing it at all, or we're all doing it. I don't think it can be left ambiguous. I think you kind of sow some issues in the clubhouse by leaving it up to those guys.
And the thing is,
each guy,
so because we've made the move to take it away.
Yeah. Yeah.
As you said, there are other teams who's got the big chain or who's sure. got the whatever, right?
Yep.
Like other teams do it and it's not a big deal. I think you should have a bow and arrow and a quiver or like, or it should be a regal staff of some kind, right? That you can just sort of strut about with
Like it. Yeah. Like it.
So, but these things can be divisive, man.
Yeah.
And so it seems like a problem for the sake of problems.
It does. That's what I'm saying. Like this is, as you've pointed out, as I've pointed out, a lot of teams have a thing they do. But for whatever reason, it's a story in Toronto because we had it. Not everybody liked it. We took it away. And now your star wants to bring it back and has said so publicly.
Yeah, but I wonder.
This is a nothing story that's going to be a story.
I wonder, though, if the biggest antagonist is gone.
Yeah.
In Matt Chapman. If to me, Bo is like, well, you know,
I don't know. I think Bo is a bit of a red ass in Matt Chapman's shadow or
okay.
not shadow, but
yeah. In same mold, in the same
right.
sort of,
yes.
in the same vein.
I don't think Bo wants to do this thing.
Yeah. But I think Bo was also like, all right. Like, I don't want to wear it. I'm not wearing it, but cool, man. Do it. And that's the way it should be. I don't find a huge deal with it.
Okay.
But I certainly understand the whole point you're making.
Yeah.
That it seems like in a season where things are.
Well, and last year was a joyless year for the team, for the fans, for what. If this is important to Vlad and he wants it back, what do I care? Bring it back. But yeah. It's going to be a thing for a few weeks at the start of the season, I think.
Well, and people wanted to buy them in the stands. Like,
yeah.
Some fans really got behind it too,
yes.
right? Like, they wanted a home run jacket.
Sure.
And so I don't care one way or the other if they wear it.
Yeah.
I kind of was happy to see it go.
Okay.
I thought they needed to make that move from jokers, always having a good time, and then you couldn't win in the big game.
I just felt that was I sort of agree with you, but it was a pendulum that felt like it swung too far.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so to me, and it didn't work.
It did not.
So you go, okay, we're taking a couple of your buddies out and the jacket. Bam, bam, bam.
Fuck you, Vlad.
And you go, oh, and my season sucked, and you know.
Here's my 26 home runs or whatever.
Sucked is relative, but yeah,
sure,
for Vlad, what we need from him,
yeah,
that's not it. That's not it. And so you need to, I think, be very cognizant of what it's going to take to make Vlad happy and to make Vlad successful. This burdock,
yeah.
April, this dry stout,
mm-hmm.
it's delicious.
Okay.
Now, I am going to say it's 3.1%.
Okay. So you're going to need that second one. And
well, and not fourth, that it's all about the ABVs.
It's a little about the ABVs.
But it's not nothing.
Yeah, this one I would say has stopped seeming so dry the more I've gotten into it, and it is a little creamier. But, yeah. So whether it was yours, whether it was Bunda's, at this point I'm willing to concede it was probably yours. I know Bunda brought me an Ashton, and so I looked in the fridge and went, it looks like it right there. Grabbed it and
that's all right. You also seem to very uncannily know what I had in. You're like, yeah, you got two stouts in there. I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm good.
You don't remember that when you were leaving last week, you stuck your head back in and said, maybe we do a stout trade. I've got two sitting in your fridge. You don't remember that part?
I certainly do not remember
that. Okay. As you were walking out the door, I said, you know, maybe St. Paddy's Day, a bit of a stout day. You said if you were to collect a stout or two, I've got two in your fridge we could trade.
I was drunk.
Yeah, well, so was I. But
so,
so either you've forgotten or I've made it up completely.
Okay, but, well, and I'm glad we didn't because I want those two beers in there.
And I didn't go out and look for a couple of
trade-worthy
stouts.
Okay.
I didn't hold up my end of the bargain anyway.
See, what I didn't remember,
didn't
I'm thankful
matter.
For.
Yeah. True enough. Anything else you wanted to hit on this one, man?
On this show?
Yes.
I just cracked another beer.
I know that. That's why I'm handing the ball to you. Where do you want to go?
There are a couple things.
Okay.
World Junior tickets, Matt, that
right.
were on sale here, and you apparently were oblivious to it, despite somebody having
Yeah, at Christmas when they put out, they always do the commercials, right? Next year in Edmonton, Red Deer, or whatever it's going to be, and you can apply for tickets. So this time when they said it was going to be in Ottawa, I entered the, what do you say,
115,000 people put their names in.
Well, I was one of them, and it would appear they have not drawn my name because you said we're on round three now of...
I think they said they were going to round three.
Of people being able to get into the...
Which I don't fully understand. I don't. And to me, this comes to my attention, Matt, and the only reason I bring it up is...
To rub it in my face.
Rob, in your face!
Rob's got tickets and Matt doesn't.
Is my better half comes to me and she's like...
Hey, I won the lottery.
Hey, so-and-so, a friend of ours, says she won tickets, but only for the games at TD Place.
Womp, womp.
And I'm like, that's the non-Canada division?
Yeah.
Who cares? So no, we don't want to split tickets with her.
No.
Beat it! And then she comes back and she's like, oh, but I did win.
Your partner did.
Yeah. I won for, you know, to get into the... For
the good building.
CTC. Yeah. And I'm like...
We should talk about this.
Damn. So anyways, she's still in conversation with two other women about, well, what do we do? Do we like...
Mortgage our house.
Split three ways in this? Do we do this? Do we do that? And blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, I am not splitting three ways on a ticket package with anybody.
Like, three ways is because you're only getting now, they're each getting one round robin game. You're getting two, I guess.
Who gets the extra, Matt?
You. It's your ticket. It's your, you won. You're inviting them in.
See, you have, you and I have looked at this in a very male way. It's my code.
Right.
I have, you get in for this only on my code.
On my back. Yeah.
So, niet. That's not happening.
That's not how that's played out. Okay.
So.
I'm not unaware that your better half is, well, better than you. Or somewhat nicer, more considerate,
kinder,
more generous.
All of the above.
Yeah.
All of the above.
I was going to list off a whole bunch of qualities. We don't have to do that.
No, it's okay. I think we both know.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that. And that's the way I would like it.
Right.
You hope that the person that you are with, her strengths are your shortcomings.
Whew, you have paired up well.
And that's it, man. That's what we're looking for, right? Is kind.
But this
generous.
Is the problem you're running into now is it's her win and not your win. So you're kind of in the same boat with the other women that... she's talking to.
Yeah. So it comes down to, and I'm like, no, I'm not happy with any of this. Like, because
three ways too many. You won't get enough out of it at that point.
Well, and so what happens is the package.
Someone is always left feeling unsatisfied in a three way. I gotta.
Then you're not doing it right.
I believe that.
I'd be more assertive, Matt, is what happens there. So the package is 18 games.
Oh, right, because you'll have everything at that building, not just the Canada
games. So, but it's you're guaranteed four Canada games,
yeah.
10 round-robin games in total.
Right.
A relegation match, two quarters, two semis, a bronze and a gold.
Right.
So, but let's be honest. You're
four? Like, do you have the option to try and get, like, how many tickets?
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
So, now, what comes – so the reality of that situation is if Canada has four round-robin games, you're talking about six, max seven Canada games if they play a quarter.
Yep.
So
– well, everybody plays a quarter now, right? The crossovers are 1-4. And,
okay.
Yeah.
So there's seven Canada games.
Yeah.
The rest of the tickets, be damned, you have them.
Yeah.
But the price comes down to price per Canada game.
Yes, of course.
That is
– that's what we're actually buying here.
So if I go to see, and our division is USA, mm-hmm. Finland, Canada, Germany, Latvia.
So you'd make a point to go see USA, Finland.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beyond
for sure.
That,
Latvia, Germany on a Tuesday night.
Sure. Got nothing else to do.
Probably I do.
Oh. Okay.
Probably I do, but that other quarter, you know, depending on what it is.
Yeah.
So it is the Canada games you're valuing this at.
Of course. Yeah. That's what you're buying. Everything else is a throw-in.
So she and I were talking about it, and she's like, okay, and the window opens 10 a.m. Monday morning.
Mm.
And you have a 48-hour window. I'm like, all right, well, we'll talk about this and see how it goes. And so
Are you going home loaded on St. Patty's Day to have this conversation?
Saturday night, stone sober.
Right.
She comes to me and says, oh, the window opened 10 a.m. Friday.
No!
And we have till 10 a.m. Sunday.
Oh, no. Pressure's on.
So, that being said, I said, if we're going to do this, we do it with no partners.
Right.
And we totally drive this bus.
Yeah.
And we do it. And if you want to sell off a game or whatever,
yeah,
we do that. So that being said, the number of tickets available, Matt, mm-hmm. 36 hours into that 48-hour window.
Yeah.
Not a lot.
Okay.
Not a lot. So Rob does have tickets.
Right.
To 18 games.
Hmm.
But man, I had to be on a corner.
Yeah.
But man, there was nothing.
Up in the 300s?
Yep.
Yeah.
Nothing within the middle of the 300s. Yeah. Everything was north of that. So I have them.
Yep.
I'll be in the building.
There you go.
Worth noting,
mm-hmm.
The 09 games, I was on the corner and I was in the last row.
And back to the yep. brick.
Yep, yeah, exactly. But I could get up and I could stand behind. There's the little bar sort of railing behind you.
Right.
The wheelchair accessible bathroom was also
gorgeous.
Right behind me.
Nice.
Those seats were great.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be there, that's where I saw the Eberle goal from.
Right.
So if you're
your end or the far end?
It was at the far end.
Right.
So I was looking at it sort of full view.
Yep.
As you see the Ryan Ellis knock the puck down.
Tavares dig it out.
Yes.
We all know the goal. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that was, I'm looking at that on the angles right in front of me on, and the board was closest to me.
Right.
So if you're in the building for a moment that even comes close to that, doesn't matter where you are. Like, honestly, it was a raucous.
That World Juniors is maybe the first time I ever remember seeing a camera that's pretty common now during it, but it looks like it's literally hanging in one top corner and you see the whole building. For whatever reason, that's the first time I remember seeing that particular camera shot. And now you see it from time to time at different big events and things like that. But they would zoom out, like on that Eberle goal, they zoom out for a second after they're all jumping up and down and they go back to that camera. Like I said, it's probably hanging behind your head at the back corner of the building.
Yeah.
And you just get the full view of everybody losing their mind.
Yeah. Honestly, it was. So that's what you hope for, right?
Yeah.
When you buy these, because I was also.
Good chance if you're looking for that again, you're going to get let down here this year.
Well,
not to say Canada won't win, but a moment like that?
No.
Yeah.
Those moments, the reason those are moments like that, that's a moment you're going to see replayed for
yeah,
forever.
That's a once in a lifetime
exactly.
goal.
Because I was also at the 03. I probably saw 20 games in the 03 Halifax games.
Right.
And it ended in a Russia 3-1 or a Russia beating Canada in the gold medal game. And it was just felt deflating, right?
Sure.
So, yeah, you are buying these tickets. Cost over $2,000. And
per?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. It turns out to be $10.40.
Yeah, okay.
A seat.
Yeah.
But you're that far up.
Yeah, yeah.
That's almost
for how many games again?
18.
Yeah, all right.
It, well, it really works out to about $100, $50 a seat.
Yeah.
Per game.
Yeah.
But as I said, you are
some
talking
games are worth
about
way more than others.
Some are worth none.
Yep.
And so it really comes down to, yeah, what am I recouping at all, if anything, of flipping off some seats?
Yeah.
None of the Canada games will take those all in, but
yeah.
It is interesting. So they're talking about a third round, and I don't know where those seats are going to come from, if anything.
Yeah.
So, and again, I don't know how you feel about this. There's areas where I could get down low, but there was only three seats in the row. And you buy the two, and it says, nah.
Yeah.
We won't let you, you can't leave one seat in a row.
So that happened to me, obviously on a different level, when I was trying to get tickets to the PWHL home opener. I wanted to buy three tickets, and they had four right first row behind the penalty box. And I was like, yoink, take those three. I'm like, ah, can't do it. Can't leave just one. I'm like, well, fuck you. Am I supposed to buy nacho seat or like?
Yeah.
No. So I moved up several. Now it's TD Place. It's not a huge arena. Like we still had a good view of everything. Maybe better than we would have at first row behind the penalty box. But yeah, it kind of feels like that's your problem, not my problem. I want these three and
Well, and I know all kinds of people, right, who travel.
Rob knows people.
I got, no, just a friend of the family who, he likes to go to games on his own.
Right.
He just goes. My dad goes to the Belleville games.
Belleville, yeah.
And he's by himself. He likes to show up, do his thing, and leave. If that's going to be the case, you know somebody else in that row earlier, when it was half empty, went, oh, I'm taking three seats.
Yeah.
But there's still six left in that row or whatever, and you go, no.
So it's just timing. Like, yeah. I came along later, want yep. three, can't do it.
So you got to go in increments of two then.
Yeah.
If you have even numbers in each row, screw you, man. Twos and fours and sixes, that's it.
Yep.
If you don't.
That would have screwed me too, so.
Yeah, no, I get it, and I get this is the way it goes, but if you have one leftover seat, that is not my fault.
Well, and the difference here, of course, also being I could have sprung for a fourth seat for PWHL home opener. I can't spring for a fourth empty seat at a full package of World Junior right. games, right? Like now it's another $1,000.
You got another GER, right? You're looking to throw down?
Right. This to set my nachos on.
You love that, actually. You know, it's not a bad, if the seat didn't flick up all
yeah,
the time. Yeah,
100%, man.
Went to a game with the kid in the house when she was, I don't know, maybe 10. Put her pizza down on her chair and it flipped up.
No.
And the pizza's down, face down. And the okay.
Yeah.
And you're like, sad faced kid.
Yeah.
Right.
This is not a 5 second rule situation no, on the floor not, of a stadium.
Yeah. And so her mom goes back and gets another one and doesn't it happen again?
No. At that point, it's on you, kid.
Yeah. So, but again, see previous conversation. Her mom with the way better.
Yes.
You know, heart and, sure. and all those things. Three pizzas for the kid.
Probably $8 a slice
yeah,
each time.
Yeah. So same kid, we were out at the beach and she's got her ice cream in the first lick and it goes bam, right out of the cone, just right in the sand. And at that point, her mom's like, no, you're not getting another one. And I'm like, oh, I got $5 yeah. here. So, because I can only imagine a 9-year-old Rob going, no.
I have one sister who used to drop her. You know, we were out on the Trent all the time, right? Like boating up and down every summer, and we'd go for ice cream, and she would always, always drop her cone or have the top scoop
yeah.
push off.
Bam. Oh, so you got to.
And there'd be tears, and there'd be. Yeah.
No, and again, I've just talked about two times where no life lesson was taught, but. Although, if you're out already on the boat, guess what?
Yeah, no, we weren't allowed to bring the ice cream on the boat.
Oh, okay.
No,
all right.
No ketchup chips, no cheesies,
oh.
No orange pop, nothing like that was going to stain anything. That stuff, you can have that on the pier or on the...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Cheesies, no go.
I laugh because when my kids were little and we were going to hockey everywhere, right? Two kids in minor hockey, you are going...
Sure.
5 days and just house league, right?
Yeah, yeah.
5-6 days a week, you're going someplace, and you'd always have the kids saying they wanted a slush puppy after the practice or game.
Sant slush puppy.
Or a Gatorade.
Right.
Right. And like, I'm not sure you need the electrolytes that bad, but whatever. It the roof of the minivan had all kinds of shit on it, like a different colored whatever, and you're like,
what's happening back
here? I have no idea. Well, clearly, I have no idea. But they just were like savages, man. So I totally get your parents going, yeah. all that stuff, because accidents are called accidents for a reason.
Yeah. This boat is our life savings. You're not bringing anything on here.
I had zero intention of that happening,
yeah.
but somehow it still happened.
No, we'd seen my sister drop enough ice cream cones to know.
Is this the middle sister or the youngest sister?
This is the middle sister.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, she wasn't bringing ice cream. Like I said, the rules were already stiff, but she had no shot. Like out of anybody, she was not bringing ice cream.
You are wearing one of those bibs that the babies wear.
The boat would have to have been wearing one of those yeah. bibs was the problem.
With the thing, just a little, the hook.
Because you
the
can
bottom.
Just toss her off the back, rinse her off, and drag her back up. It's the upholstery that was apparently the concern.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah,
and that's
more
why
than
I,
us.
That's why I mentioned the minivan with yeah. the roof. Because, yeah. you know, how do you get that? Like, how do you get a slush puppy? How do you get that crap on the roof? Like, the Gatorade, I sort of has a squeeze top. You can do, I get it, kind of.
Well, how often have you and I had beers overflow or spill out or whatever?
Today?
Here? Yeah. Sure.
At least once today. Day. At least yeah. once today, Matt.
Yeah. So things happen, right? You can't always predict what's what's going to go down.
You can hope they are. Yeah. And just in closing, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about you were out last night and you were doing your thing. Did you catch any of the Leaf game?
None of it, actually. I saw the extended, you know, the 10-minute highlight pack on Sunday morning. But, yeah, we were checking out. The Leafs were up 4-2 when we were getting the bill.
With 2.5 minutes to go?
I don't remember how much time was left at that point. Okay. And then, yeah, when I got home, they had lost in a shootout. So
it was not. It was delicious.
Yeah, I had a feeling you wouldn't be overly heartbroken about it.
Your boy Labushkin.
Boosh.
He was looking good.
Yeah.
He was looking good.
You're still feeling good about that, are you?
I am. Yeah. I know I said here 2 weeks ago saying that's a great depth signing, and that is... He's gonna he laid a couple of round ones right up the middle.
Yeah,
looking good. And it was 2.5. So I watched it the end of that game sort of this morning, and I'm like, it's 3 minutes and it's still 4-2.
Yeah.
Yet I know what
happened.
Yet I know what the score is. And you go, this is beyond my. It's too good to be true.
Yeah. Your joy meter was about to...
Was redlining, Matt. Yeah. It was like, oh, my goodness.
Oh, look at that.
You know what? Pretty close.
Pretty perfect. Yeah.
Pretty damn close, right? So it was, yeah, those guys. And the number of one-goal games the Leafs have been in, like, it's like 28 games or something have been...
Yeah, well, for the longest time, I assume it's still the case. I don't know whether it's still the case that they had been to more overtime games than anybody else. Now, they won a bunch of them.
Yeah.
I know Boston leads in overtime losses, and that's actually basically the full distance between us in the standings is their overtime losses. And I saw one of the Toronto writers tweeted out late Saturday night, Keith eventually acknowledged that that's a game they have to win. And I'm sort of, or have to close out. And I was sort of like, you're not even a radio guy or a TV guy who wants the clip of him saying it. You're a writer. Did you need him to say that a blown two-goal lead with whatever, 90 seconds, 120 yeah. seconds left isn't acceptable, or do we not already know that? So this is one I look at, like Justin Bourne was tweeting about it, Jeff Viette was tweeting about it, that said, honestly, for the better part of the game, the thing that the Leafs were doing the best to shut down Carolina was denying zone entries, which is a Carolina thing. Like that's what they do best.
Well, they possess the puck.
Right. And so Toronto apparently for 58 minutes did a really good job of that and then just shut her down completely. So I don't have any really strong thoughts about it because I didn't see it, but this isn't a game that like freaks me out. Like, oh, same old Leafs. Like, it stinks that you blew that lead. That shouldn't happen. But it doesn't sound like this game was one of those ones where Carolina just dummied you and...
No, no.
Yeah.
I didn't get that.
Yeah.
Now, Ottawa played the Islanders earlier that day.
Yeah. I was back and forth between that and the Jays on Saturday.
I wanted to say that the Islanders, they said lead the league in like 30 overtime games. Honestly, yeah. It was... Yeah. It's insane. They're more than Boston. They
right.
were one or two more than Boston.
Well, it's got them in a playoff spot all of a sudden.
Yeah. And the thing about those Islanders, now they lost to Ottawa. But
you hate to see that.
Yeah, you know they do, especially yeah. when Detroit won
yeah.
in Buffalo.
That game, that Buffalo-Detroit game, Buffalo had it in control for a while and then pissed it away. And
yeah.
That's kind of what they do.
And the thing with the Islanders is, and it was my narrative for most of the day, is they're not a great team, man. To me, I understand they have Horvat and Barzal, and I know...
this has actually been a bit of a down year for Sorokin.
Yeah,
but Noah Dobson suddenly caught fire.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of what's his name, Brock.
Brock Nelson.
Brock Nelson's got almost 30 goals this year,
yep.
so he's had a bit of a bounce back.
Yep.
But they're like a team of second and third line guys, right? Like it's
yeah.
just they're with a pretty decent defense. But mm-hmm. the thing that they do traditionally is when the Ottawas of the world scuffling, underperforming, whatever it is, they beat those teams.
Right.
Right. I should beat that team, and we did beat that team.
Yeah.
The teams above us were in a scrap, whereas they didn't do it yesterday, but whereas that's what Ottawa doesn't do.
Yeah.
Right? And so to me, that has been the hallmark of...
Well, we've talked about it, whether it was a few weeks ago, right? A week where they lost to Anaheim, lost to Chicago. And you're like,
lost
the season was over, but come on. Like, you got to get up for those games.
Well, who are you not getting up for?
Right.
If you're like, oh,
well, they're playing Boston tough. They took 3 of 4 from the Leafs. Like, you're clearly capable of playing better than this. And yet Anaheim, San Jose, and Chicago roll in. And you're like, ah, well.
Yeah.
We'll take 1 of 6 points there.
And so to me, that is the thing that the Islanders, they seem to understand.
Beat who you're supposed to beat.
And you scrap it out with the guys above you, and you steal whatever you can. And so that turned out not to be the not to be the case yesterday. So again, Rob had a good idea that was not good at all, or was unfounded.
Right.
So it's amazing. I'll be interested to see. I don't know. It turns out now that Tampa, Detroit, Islanders sort of trifecta, that wild card
Phillies
spot,
in that mix.
Yeah, that it's just going to be a...
Well, it didn't look like there was going to be a race at all, and now suddenly there appears to be... Like, Washington is still hanging around. I know.
I understand.
They're still in the mix. Like,
well, and Pittsburgh still thinks they have a chance, too.
Pittsburgh is wrong.
They are totally wrong. And after seeing them in Ottawa, you're like, slow, old, not very effective. So...
I do continue to be impressed by... And it's still early, but... Kuznetsov, like, that appears to have been a very smart risk to take for Carolina.
Did you see the shootout?
I did see the shootout, yeah.
My God.
My God.
That guy, I was just like.
That's Kuznetsov's music.
I was like, oh, that is. So that's a. What's his name?
Jim Ross.
Jim Ross.
My God.
Yeah, sorry. I wasn't sure. I'm like, I think I know that. That he must have taken 30 seconds to make it from.
Yeah.
And if you score.
You look great.
You look great, right?
You when don't, you, you're when Jason you Allison. Don't,
this is it, man. And you, when you don't, it looks like you don't give a damn.
Yeah.
And you're just like, you're
making, but he made some nice plays I saw in the highlights there.
I thought he scored the tying goal, and it turns out it was Aho that got that got the tip. Yeah. The good Aho. We saw the bad Aho in the afternoon for the Islanders.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that does look to be good. And Gensel scores the overtime winner. So you're like.
Shootout winner, yeah.
Yeah, shootout winner, sorry, yeah.
Yep.
And you're like, psh, good for you guys. It seems to have, at this point.
Good for you guys.
Yeah, I meant,
I know. I meant long, in general as a pickup.
Long term and how it goes and so whatnot. And I do like the sweet St. Patrick's Day unis.
Yeah.
I'm always a fan of that. They don't seem to win in them ever. Am I right with that? Or is that, I know it's strictly anecdotal, but I know they've lost to them a couple times wearing them here in Ottawa.
Yeah, I went to one game wearing, I got a St. Pat's jersey here, wore it to a game in Ottawa, and they lost for sure. I'm having a hard time remembering.
Was your boy Sparky in goal there? Was he? Was that one of those ones?
Maybe.
The game
I can't remember for
where
sure.
He said he's a gamer, but everyone in front of him needs to work harder. That was definitely against Ottawa on St. Patrick's Day.
That's a good way to win. Oh shit! I wasn't re-signed this summer.
Yeah,
well, because everybody but me stinks.
Yeah, because Babcock. I remember Babcock's when. Made aware of that was like, yeah, well, he just needs to worry about himself, mind his own business.
Good call.
And the next thing you know, kablam, I'm not here anymore. But
it might have been. I can't remember if he was in goal or not. But yeah.
Sweet jerseys, not great success.
No.
I'd maybe go.
Great success.
I'd go with the reverse.
Yeah.
Maybe go with a green. With
they used to have a green set, and they looked more like the old, like this is maybe 02, 03, like it was the Sundin era. And they were green instead of the white and had kind of a lighter colored trim. Those are pretty sharp too. Yeah. I actually liked them better as a St. Pat's.
Well, the white
jersey.
Is the white is crisp.
Yeah.
I like the white.
It's a nice jersey.
And so to me, yeah, in terms of what the Leafs wear or don't wear.
Yeah.
And it, actually the Leafs stuff, a lot
Stanley
of them.
Cup rings.
Yes.
They do not.
Yeah. But the white Leaf jersey, the blue, like I like the Leafs get up.
Yeah.
Their kit. Gear.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's solid. It's clean.
Classic.
So the blue, the white, and you throw the St. Patty stuff in there.
Sure.
It's a good look. It's
the Black Beaver jersey.
Nope. You notice
no Black Beaver.
Black Beaver. No. You notice I didn't say that.
I did notice that.
Yeah, it's okay. I'd go for the puffy coat though, Matt, from All-Star. I could rock that. Like,
you'd look good in that.
Yeah, of course I would.
What wouldn't he look good in?
The Borat, two straps over the little lime-colored whatever that is.
Yeah.
I'm not rocking that super well. You asked.
I did.
And there's the visual.
And I believe you. Yeah, no, that's going to haunt me for a while. I think that's where we'll wrap this up. I hope you, good listener, who may be feeling just slightly under the weather on March 18th, have enjoyed us enjoying our March 17th.
Enjoyed us.
Yeah. And, Best of luck to you. We hope.
No glove.
Yeah. Okay. Later on this week, there will be more episodes of the Talk Audio podcast. Leave or Sage will be on one of them, and we'll figure it out from there. For Rob Christie, my name's Matt Robinson. Have yourselves a great week. We'll talk to you later on.
See ya.
We've had lots of fun, but now the time has come to go. If this still clown was found dead in his bed tomorrow, I'd be in heaven still doing this show. See you some other time!